Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Triangulation is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Triangulation, episode 230, recorded Monday, December 21st, 2015. The Maker's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. Triangulation is brought to you by Headspace. Train your mind for a healthier, less stressed life. Download the free Headspace app and begin their Take 10 program for 10 days of guided meditation at headspace.com/triangulation. And by Texture, the mobile app that lets you access the world's most popular magazines anytime, anywhere, using your phone or tablet. For your free 30-day trial, visit texture.com/triangulation. And by audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/triangulation. It's time for Triangulation. I think this is our last show of 2015, isn't it? Next week, a best of. Hey, welcome. It's good to see you all. This is the show where we get together with the best and brightest in technology, and we have some fun talking. And this one I couldn't resist. When this came across my desk, I said, we must interview Simon Monk. He's written many books. This is his newest, The Maker's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. From the northwest of England, Simon Monk joins us on Triangulation. Hi, Simon.
Hi.
Nice to meet you. Welcome.
Thank you.
It's nice to meet you, Leah. Not your first book. You've written a series of books about evil geniuses.
Yes, so, I've done a few for the for the Tab series that they have on. They have an Evil Genius series.
The Evil Genius. 15 dangerously mad projects for the evil genius.
Yeah, I wanted to call it Dangerous Projects for the Evil Genius, but they didn't go
just,
for that.
They're just mad, so, not dangerous.
Yeah.
Unless you make them so. You can see it's
well, there's a coil gun in there.
Yeah, well, hey,
and
see.
A trebuchet.
Ah!
Yeah.
What could be more madly
dangerous
than a trebuchet? Also, he's done cookbooks for Raspberry Pi, for Arduino, for Photon, for the BeagleBone. I mean, you have been in the maker space for some time now. How did you get to be a maker?
I've always been interested in electronics as a hobby. As a teenager, I used to go to the public library and get out practical wireless, and there were little circuits you could make up with strip board, and I used to just, you know, follow the designs and make something up. And if I was really lucky, I'd end up with a metal detector that would detect a car if it was half an inch under the ground, or,
ooh,
you know, not terribly sophisticated projects, but
fun.
I've always enjoyed it as a hobby, and had a career in software, and then ended up coming full circle. I started playing with Arduino, decided to write down what I was doing as I was learning about it, and then reorganized it a bit into a book format and pushed it out to a few publishers, and McGraw-Hill came back and said, can you repurpose it for their Evil Genius series, which is my first one, the 30 Arduino projects for the Evil Genius. And then since then, I've just been writing more. We kind of rode the wave on the Arduino popularity, so it was good timing. And then we managed to do the same thing on the Raspberry Pi. So I sort of now I'm working past 3 years. I've been full time just writing books, which is why there's so many of them. Because if you haven't got anything else to do, you can rattle through them fairly quickly.
It helps to live in the northwest of England, I might add.
Well, if it's raining all the time, what else are you going to do?
What else are you going to do? Soon to come from O'Reilly, the Raspberry Pi cookbook. Practical electronics for inventors, and a make action, which should be a lot of fun. I love this one, though. This is from No Starch Press. They're actually they're right up the coast from us, and I'm a huge fan of what they do. Actually, they're in San Francisco now, but I think they started up in Santa Rosa. Huge fan of what they do because they have a little quirky personality, as you might gather from the title. Whose idea was the zombie apocalypse, Simon?
It was actually my wife's idea. We both like watching The Walking Dead and, you know, a lot of any kind of zombie films and things. And it sort of struck me that the heroes, you get warrior heroes in the zombie films and the zombie series, but you don't often get maker heroes. And I sort of, it's my contention that actually you'd want a few makers there.
Absolutely.
Perhaps not you know, after you've sort of dealt with the immediate stress, then you want to kind of make yourself comfortable, and you want somebody who's going to be able to generate some electricity for you, and somebody who's going to set up a few alarms and some surveillance and some communication projects so that you can deal with the threats and make your life a bit more easy.
You know, this is one of the reasons I love the Make movement, and I'm so supportive of it, is, you know, kids, I think, nowadays are big consumers of stuff, software and hardware. But I think that they often, in fact, nobody really, adults even, don't really know how they're made, where, you know, what's going into them. And it really is, yeah. I think, not because there's going to be a zombie apocalypse, all signs point to no, but... Yeah. Because it's good to know how this stuff works, and maybe a percentage of them will actually start making stuff so that there's something to consume in the next generation. So I really yeah. like that. And I love, by the way, I love it that you do software as well as hardware, because
yes, yeah.
that's part of the fun of Arduino and Raspberry Pi, is not just
it
downloading
is.
Somebody else's code, but adding your own.
Yeah, and also, if you come from a big software environment like I did, and you're used to trying to wrangle huge amounts of code and avoid the chaos that usually ensues. And you come and work on a Raspberry Pi or an Arduino and you're writing yourself 30 lines of code and then yeah. you're done. It's just so much more manageable and pleasant and easy than the big software life.
And it's great. It's satisfying because it does something.
Yeah.
Immediately,
exactly.
Right?
It's so immediate. Yeah. I mean, I've seen this with kids when they get an LED to blink. That's really, you know, in software terms, there's nothing really much going on there. But it's so much more interesting than having some text appear on the screen if you're learning to program.
Yeah.
There's just something about physical computing that really grabs people's attention. So it's great to see the Maker movement encouraging all of these things. And I go to the Bay Area Maker Fair most years. That's my trip over to the States.
Oh, good.
And it's just such a fantastic event.
Yeah. And it's a lot of kids.
The scale of the thing.
A lot of kids
yeah,
are excited
exactly.
by the notion that they can get their hands on and do something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's great to see. It's good stuff.
This would be a wonderful book to get for somebody who wants to do projects with their kids. It is going to need some adult supervision. You know, a kid 13 or 14 can probably do most of this stuff, but I think it's going to need some adult supervision, right?
Yeah. I mean, I always try and put a bit of a range of project levels of difficulty into any of my books, so that there's some, you know, you can start with something fairly straightforward, and then if you really get into it, then you can do one of the more complicated Arduino builds.
Yeah, and for those who are attracted by the zombie in the name, good news: the first chapter covers zombies in great detail, the kinds of the zombies, the kinds of are zombies really dead, the kinds of attacks one must suffer, how long will the zombies be around. And I like this graph, which is where did you get this? Because it's hysterical.
I made that up.
I love it. Here it is.
It's not terribly scientific, I don't think.
The zombie population is, as one hopes, the dotted line. The human population is the solid line. As you can see, initially, in the first year or two, the zombies may seem to be winning, but in the long run, they go away and the humans come back. And that's why you need this book.
Yeah, The Science of Zombies.
Yep. Very scientific. I like that. It's a graph.
Yeah.
Food and fuel, water, how to kill a zombie. This is fine. Great and great cartoon illustrations, too. I have to praise your illustrator because who did the illustrations?
Yeah, they did a great job. I'm afraid I don't know
the
name
starch.
Of hand, somebody that knows starch fan, but they are terrifically talented.
Yeah, it's really, really fun. It's really, really fun. So it's not, you know what? It's funny. It's not even, I think they want to remain anonymous, perhaps afraid that zombies may retaliate. Because I don't.
There's a credit in there somewhere.
There's a credit. So we're going to take a break and come back and let's talk about some of the projects. Of course, remember, after the zombie apocalypse, you don't have much. You certainly don't have infrastructure. So we're going to have to start with making your own electricity. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Simon Monk is our guest. The book, the brand new book from No Starch Press, The Maker's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. I love the idea of starting from scratch. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
And
yeah.
I think kids will like it. You know, I'm listening to Simon's beautiful voice. And he reminds me of somebody that I listen to every morning, a guy named Andy Puddington, who is...
Okay.
Do you know Headspace?
No, I don't, no.
Andy is a former monk, a brilliant meditation teacher from the UK, and he's created a company called Headspace that makes it easy for you to get the benefits of meditation, to eliminate stress, anxiety, even fear and anger from your life, to be able to sleep better, as he says, to love better and to live more. And I don't want you, when I say meditation, to think, oh, you got to fold your legs into a pretzel and you've got to say, oh, this isn't that at all. This is so great. These are guided meditations, 10 minutes a day, and I have come to love it. I look forward to it. I come away from it centered and feeling great. This is part of my new healthy lifestyle. Exercise, a good night's sleep, meditation, removing stress from your life. This is really... I think what we're all learning is key to a good life, and this makes it easy. Headspace Take 10 program is 100% free. It's a way to experience the benefits of meditation to get a sense of it. And I think after your 10 free meditation sessions, you probably will want more, but that's up to you. So try it for free. Meditation is rooted, as you probably know, in thousands of years of tradition. But what you may not know is there are many hundreds, actually thousands of scientific studies that show absolutely beneficial effects, improving focus, relationship harmony, decreasing anxiety, decreasing stress. If you want to know more, Andy Puddicombe actually has a great TED Talk, very popular, 5.5 million views last time I checked. And he's the guy, do you have a little audio? I think you do.
To help you in those meltdown moments.
This is his great voice.
Now you can track your progress and stats, buddy up with friends, and if you manage to meditate several days in a row, you'll even get rewarded with bonus gifts.
It's fun. They gamify it. And Andy makes you smile. Andy is completely unassuming, completely natural, relaxed. He's the kind of person you want to hear in your ears as you're getting rid of all the stress. Very many famous people use it. I use it. Emma Watson, Jared Leto, Gwyneth Paltrow. 4 million people have discovered Headspace. I want you to try it right now. Download the free Headspace app. It's on iOS. It's on Android. I have it everywhere. And what's nice, you sign into your account so you can use any device. I play it through my tablet into my stereo so I can listen. And it will remember where you left off so you continue your program. Try their Take 10 program, 10 days of guided meditation. Headspace.com/triangulation. This is free. And you can train your mind for a healthier, less stressed life. I really love it. I don't know if you've noticed, but I haven't been so cranky lately. since July, I started doing this. I love it. Headspace.com/strangulation. Now, zombies will make you cranky. Simon Monk is our guest.
Yeah, they certainly will.
Although after you get rid of them, it's quite peaceful. Because there are no cars on the road. Although they, as you point out, make an excellent source for materiel for your project.
Car batteries.
Yeah, you actually talk about that. So you start off by generating electricity, which was really fun. You actually have a project involving a bicycle, solar. We'll start with solar, if you can find a solar panel, and connect it up to a car battery. Did you build all of these?
Yeah, all of them. And I think,
I want to see your workshop.
It's easier to get parts afterwards.
Yeah, really.
I don't have much of a workshop, actually. It's I sort of kind of just manage with working on a desk. None of the projects involve an awful lot of sort of sawing or sort of heavy cutting or anything like that. It's mostly sort of adapt things as simply as you can.
This is nice because there's for all the projects, a nice, easy-to-read checklist so you know what you need to make the project.
With pre and post apocalypse sources of components and things.
If you need a bike, scavenge it. Yeah, or you might find one under a zombie. This one I really love. I want to do this.
It's pretty straightforward. I mean, it is it's a car alternator and a bike. You've taken the tire off and the inner tube off, and then you got it. The difficulty is going to be finding a belt. You can buy them on eBay for about $10 or something, but finding one post-apocalypse, you might have to hunt around for that a little bit.
Living where you do, is it hard to find? I mean, do you have an electronics store around the corner?
Yeah, well, I do. I'm quite lucky in that I've got there are a couple of places where I can get post-apocalypse. I could easily go and break in and get everything I need.
But pre-apocalypse, but I think, you could even use American or English British pounds to get in there and buy something.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, that always works better. I find if you give them money, when you take goods. They tend not to like it if you don't.
That's. I think in some ways you're fortunate then, because unfortunately. Radio Shack, which was for a long time the source of many of these tools and instruments, has disappeared in the United States, been replaced, and basically become a cell phone store. If you're lucky enough to live in an area where you have a parts store like this, that's great. The good news is, thanks to Lady Ada and Adafruit.com, and so there's so many sites. eBay, as you point out, even could be a great resource. So.
Yeah, yeah. I had, talking of Radio Shack, I actually put all the Radio Shack codes in, and then just before publication, they went bust. So I had to go through and take them all out and try and find other sources.
Isn't that sad?
Again,
so. I think Radio Shack, they had such an opportunity. Had they realized that their natural audience was growing, not shrinking, and that the makers were emerging, they could have become a maker space in every community. There were thousands of stores and a source for these parts. And I think that would be a vital business, I think.
Yeah, I think they would. I mean, they used to have them over here in the UK. And it was used to be one of the few places you could just walk in and buy yourself a transistor or a diode if you needed it. And it's there is a place near here where I can do that. But by and large, those kinds of shops are disappearing and it's all online. So, but I mean, they did, I think, realize sort of close to the end, and they had a few sort of attempts at sort of trying to get, give the maker movement what they wanted, but I think it was sort of too late to make that work.
And really, in a way, they at least in the States, they began to abandon the do-it-yourselfers early on. They decided they didn't want, bins of resistors and transistors and things. And they
started, that section of the store got smaller and smaller and smaller, didn't it?
Yeah,
as time went on.
That was a missed opportunity. They became the kind of the junky gadget and remote control gadget and phone store. Here's your alternator. This is so great. I think these are so much fun. Oh, my gosh. I want to do this on my exercise bike. And what's nice about starting this way is I think kids will learn where electricity comes from, right? Because this is essentially how all electricity is generated in some form or fashion, with energy applied to an alternator, right?
Exactly. And also, particularly if you're using the pedal-powered one, exactly how much effort is required to generate a decent amount of electricity. Because, you turn a TV on and you think, I could easily power a TV.
No big deal.
Well, you're not going to generate 250 watts. you might just power a little TV, but there's quite a lot of energy involved in generating.
You're talking a couple of amps, maybe 3 amps, with as you put it, furious pedaling.
Yeah.
You
have to pedal furiously and quietly. That places on.
You might be able to charge your iPad at that rate. That's about it. This is great. So now you've taught. So I like the progression here. So I've learned now. Okay. Now I can generate electricity.
Yeah. Now you've got some electricity in your batteries. What are you going to do with it?
That's
the next step.
This is good too. Using because you're using car batteries, you also have to do 12 volt conversion and how to connect.
There's lots of car accessories actually that you could just use straight off,
right?
Car batteries.
Again, those old abandoned automobiles on the motorway, those are fabulous resources.
They are.
Push the dead people out of the way and go get their cigarette lighter adapter.
Work quickly.
This is fun. A battery monitor. That's, a lot of times you'll go to the store and buy one of those, but you can quite easily make one of your own. This is Arduino powered, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Just a nice little, starter Arduino project, really.
Yeah. And again, a little bit of code, not a lot, but I think in this case you download the code from the NoStarch.
Yeah, all the code is available for download. Right. Yeah.
But if you want to know what's going on, and I really encourage people to mess with the code. Because this is something you can do without, too much risk and learn. I love it that you give the code. I think that's really fantastic. And this is so.
I think people, Sorry. Yeah, I think people like to fix the code as well, because they're quite, well, I'm not saying there's bugs in it.
Is it buggy?
It improves the code. No, it's not buggy. But people, you know, it can always be improved. It can always be made a bit better. So you do, all the code is on GitHub. So you find that people will come back to you with, you know, pull requests saying, you know, what about doing this? Because the display is flickering a bit or what have you. So people will contribute, which is nice.
Now, since you don't, it sounds like you don't have a garden full of projects like these, that you must take them apart after you make them.
Yeah, some of them I do. I needed the bike again, so I had to put the bike back together. But the alternator's still sitting in the garage. Some of the things that will go back on eBay.
What does your wife think of all this?
She's very tolerant.
Yeah. No, it's great.
She's the same.
Yeah, but she has you home, and you're puttering. But you're puttering to good effect, so that's good.
Yeah.
What does she do?
Well, she's running a business selling kits that go with the books. Monkmakes.com.
That's fantastic.
It's great. So we've had a very busy time. We've spent most of the run up to Christmas putting things together into boxes and sending them off to Amazon.
Ship to the US or you sell on Amazon? So that makes it easy.
We sell on Amazon.com and Amazon.co.uk.
Oh, that's great. So here's monksmakes.com, books and other bright ideas. This is very you've really made this a cottage industry here.
Yeah,
All the projects that are in the book, you can download or rather buy, like the Raspa robot.
For the zombie book, there aren't really any kits because it's a bit difficult to ship car batteries and alternators. And the whole point is that you should wait until after the apocalypse, really, before you start taking these big, heavy things.
I'm so glad you're doing this because, you know, companies that used to do this have really kind of stopped, I think, for fear of liability that, you know, it's hard, like the Hacking Electronics Starter Kit. You know, there's lots of companies, one of our sponsors, Little Bits, that sell it kind of pre-made and easy to assemble. I want to solder. I want to get my kids soldering. So this is this is really great. This is kind of down and dirty, the real deal. And I'm glad that they still sell this kind of thing. You still sell this kind of thing.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, the raspberry squid is fun. Here's your beagle bone stuff. But I think I'm going to get the Hacking Electronics Starter Kit. It's got a little voltmeter. Oh, come on, Andy. You got to get more of those packaged up. I think you sold out for the holidays.
We did on some of them.
Oh,
and it's too late now. We can't
get
the stuff
Andy.
Over.
I knew I would do that. Simon, I'm sorry. I've had Andy in my ears for so long. I'm calling him Andy.
His voice was a bit similar, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Similar pitch.
It might be. And also,
I think he had a southern accent.
Yeah. Was it southern? Okay. I couldn't identify the accent. It was a different accent.
Yeah.
More Cockney, I think. All right, let's go now. One of the things that happens with zombies, they're sneaky. And even post-apocalypse, once we've rid ourselves of the vast majority, there's always the risk a zombie will approach and sneak into camp. So alarms are the subject of Chapter 4. Because you can't always say a zombie's going to be groaning and moving slowly. It really depends. You know, these days, zombies can move more quickly. So here's a tripwire. Isn't that fun? I love this. There is absolutely no practical use for a tripwire, but except in the case of apocalypse. But fun for kids, I think, right? Kids are always looking to make, like, spy stuff.
Yeah. It's a nice, easy one to make that as well because it uses just a little micro switch and a car horn and, again, a car battery or any kind of 12-volt battery if you don't want to getting an entire car battery.
And by the way, you can always scavenge one from don't do this at home, kids, a microwave oven. Mom and Dad may not be thrilled to find that the micro switch has been removed from. But you know what's nice about it is that they see the actual, that these are used all the time. This is not, you know, random stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love this. Isn't it dangerous to disassemble a microwave? For some reason, I feel like there might be a giant capacitor or something in there.
I don't think it's big capacitors, but you do. Clearly, you want to be careful that it doesn't accidentally get turned on.
And don't reassemble it and put it back in the kitchen.
Very, very high voltages. I think it's 4 kilovolt. Huge transformer generating about 4 kilovolts.
Well,
I think.
That's so,
yeah.
Fun.
Yeah, so absolutely. You've got to be a bit careful.
Kind of go through that. It's kind of fun. Yeah. This is one to do with mom and dad or
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Identify the terminals on the micro switch. So this is kind of, I like this. Instead of just buying everything, we can see what it looks like. Here's a scavenged car horn. That's what's going to happen when I trip the wire.
Yeah.
That's going to be noisy.
Probably going to bring a lot of other zombies along, actually, isn't it? maybe it's not the most practical of projects.
Oh, but for fun. This is so fun, so fun, so fun. By the way, it says, car horns are really loud, so it's best not to test this out in an enclosed space. And warn your fellow survivors before you try it. this is what kids want, loud noises. Always good.
Absolutely.
Oh, I want to build a tripwire. Just don't do it in the house. Isn't that fun? Now, what's a PIR or P-I-R alarm?
It's a passive infrared. It's infrared detects movement.
Ooh. So these are the kinds of things in home security systems. Well, you don't usually have tripwires, but you would have a PIR for sure.
Yeah.
That's nice. And where to scavenge those from? Just take apart your old intruder alarm.
Exactly. Or somebody else's.
Yeah,
better yet. It won't matter at all. You can just walk in and take what you like.
Many unoccupied homes after the apocalypse.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Surveillance. Make a camera. We'll talk more. This is fun. The book is The Maker's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. Simon Monk, our guest. This just came out from No Starch Press. It's not too late, I think, for Christmas. If you can find, an old car parts, pick and pull, you could probably make a lot of the things. You know what to do? Put this in a box with an old car horn, a micro switch, and a string. And say, what could we do with this? I think this would be the greatest gift for the holidays.
Good idea.
More with zombie apocalypse author. I like saying that. Simon Monk in just a bit. Our show today brought to you by Texture. Talk about a holiday gift. I remember every year it was really kind of special for me. My grandmother gave us National Geographic as a subscription every year. And then when my kids were little, their grandfather did the same thing, continued the thing. And so it's a wonderful gift, but there's a problem. The basement full of National Geographic magazines, the clutter, and the expense. I got a better way, the modern way, and a great gift, Texture. Texture is like Netflix for magazines, one flat monthly rate, and you get subscriptions to dozens of magazines, including National Geographic, The New Yorker, Esquire, Wired, Sports Illustrated, People, Parents, and on and on and on. You can read the magazine as exactly as it is on the newsstand. And by the way, not just the current issue on the newsstand, but back issues as well. I love that. But you can also, there's extras like video that you don't get in the magazine. And I have to say, I love magazines, but usually in any given magazine, there might be one or two articles. I get the New Yorker every week, but there's one or two articles, and then I feel guilty about the clutter, the landfill, the waste. This is so much better. And if you're looking for, articles, they have a great curated collection system that allows you to delve deeper into all the best magazines. So no more wasting time finding the best premium content. Their editorial team recommends stories based on your interests. They know what you look at and they say, you read this Eddie Redmayne, you're going to love reading this article. I use it for recipes, eating well. There's so many good cooking magazines. And I confess, sometimes I'll dabble a little into the People magazine, the Entertainment Weekly, the Gossips. It's a good way to get those without actually admitting that you read them. Full access to the top magazines across just about every interest. Texture.com/triangulation. 30 days free for yourself, but also this would be a fantastic gift for a loved one. A gift they'll open every day. How do you like that, huh? See what I did there? I love it. Texture, Texture.com/triangulation. We thank them for their support of our triangulation show. We're walking through survival in the zombie apocalypse, and fortunately we have a manual, The Maker's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. Yes, sure, the sheriff with the shotgun's going to be a useful friend and ally, but after, who's going to get the infrastructure built up? You are, if you have
That's
this
right.
book. Right. Simon Monk is our guest. I love this. So there was an Arduino, there's some Raspberry Pi. It's a mix of stuff, yeah?
Yeah, it's all, quite a few of the projects are, you know, like the Tripwire, are very straightforward and don't require any kind of processor. But where I use the processor, it's either Arduino or Raspberry Pi.
Two of our favorites, of course. And you know what's great? I think people buy Raspberry Pis and then are looking for things to do. I know that's what happened to me, right? It's, well, I've got an Arduino. Yeah. Now what? Right? So this is fun
because
you can, for instance, the Raspberry Pi surveillance system. Why use a laptop to create a surveillance system when you can use an inexpensive $35 Raspberry Pi? And and this is, you say that the Pi 2 is a good choice, or if you can, the Model A and A+ not ideal because video is going to be a little tough. You show how to use it with DC power, which I love, so I can power it off that car battery we've got, or maybe that bicycle generator I have. Well, you wouldn't want to pedal the whole time. That would kind of defeat the purpose.
No, that'd be exhausting, wouldn't it?
And you're using Raspbian, which is a Raspberry Pi operating system based on Debian, is it?
It is. It's based on Debian. It's the official. There's quite a few distributions you can put on Raspberry Pi, but Raspbian is the official one, and it is the most used, and it's quite nice, actually. They've kind of included a lot of things in the distribution that you would otherwise have to load up as soon as you wanted to do anything with the GPIO pin. So that's
good. your software is all in C, or what language do you it looks like C. Yeah,
all the Arduino code is in C, and Python for the Raspberry Pi code.
Love Python. Oh, yeah, there's the Python. Yeah. So, and speaking of Python, there's also another animal from the menagerie, a squid, which is really helpful for the GPIO.
Yeah, it is just an RGB LED, but it provides a nice, you can just plug it straight onto the GPIO pin so you don't have to mess around soldering. And it's got built-in series resistors and things. It's a design I put it on GitHub, actually, with a little library with instructions on how to make your own. But if you don't want to make your own, we have some ready-made ones that Monk makes sell. So.
That's nice. I love it that you put the code on GitHub, frankly. That makes it a lot easier. And it's funny that people are committing to it, too. I love that. That's really great. Here, if you have an old webcam lying around, you can use that in your zombie surveillance system. This is something I think a lot of people might really want to build. What's the total cost? I guess if you have some stuff lying around, but if you had to go out and buy it all?
I think even a surveillance system, you're probably not looking at more than maybe $100 to sort of get everything.
This is probably one of the most expensive projects in the
Yeah.
But there you go. You see? You got one.
That's actually my wife in a mask.
She is really game. I love that. She says, all right, Simon, if you're going to do it, well, it was her idea.
Exactly. Yeah, she's got to commit to it if she thought of the book's idea. Yeah.
I love it. We'll give Linda some credit on this.
I don't know what the neighbors thought.
What are they doing now? What? Add remote access, detect open doors. So a little more kind of security system focused stuff.
Trying to use sort of ready-made modules and things you could scavenge where possible. So it's not a kind of complete original from scratch build, but sort of get a hold of things.
Okay, whose house did you pillage? Come on.
That's actually still in place. That's like the side door to our garage is got that lock.
But it's all scored up. Did you do that for the purposes of the book? I love it. Like some zombie was scratching.
It does look like that, doesn't it? Maybe I should be worried. I didn't notice that before.
I've written a few computer books in my time, and I really like 13. When you've done it, nothing like you, but when you've done it, you really appreciate what goes into this. This is a lot of work. You had to build these and photograph them. Great illustrations. Yeah. This is really well done. I love the shopping lists. This is, by the way, praise to No Starch Press. I think they're a great publisher for stuff like this. They have a quirky sense of humor that
they
really
do.
Helps.
Yeah.
We've all seen these on our own home security systems or at work on their security. It's a read switch, it's called. That's neat. So you're learning. I think you're learning a lot of stuff here. Environmental.
Yeah, the idea is that it's there's a bit of educational stuff in there. If you make things, you can't help but find out a little bit about how they work, can you?
And that's
you
what I want. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's how to learn how a fire alarm works. You're actually going to take apart a smoke detector, and learn a little.
The idea
bit
is to make it more so you can tie it into a sort of integrated alarm system, so you can be alerted that there's a fire without it attracting more zombies.
You can't have that big loud sound. This is good. Danger radiation, it's kind of a minor amount of radiation, but I like it that we're learning a little bit about how the smoke detector works and why there's some radioactive materials in there. So that's good. Here's how to do a little soldering. Not required for a lot of the projects, but certainly
that's right.
useful.
Yeah. So for some of them, this soldering.
And this is an Arduino project we're doing here.
Yeah,
so a little
the Arduino ones tend to be the most advanced, sort of technically.
Isn't that funny? Because I always think of the Raspberry Pi as kind of more of a general purpose computer.
Yeah, and I tend to use it more like that in the book. So the surveillance camera, I mean, you could use a laptop in place of the Raspberry Pi. There's a few points where I use the Raspberry Pi GPIO pins, but mostly when it comes to interfacing to hardware, I tend to use an Arduino.
Interesting.
This kind of thing.
It's kind of more designed for that I/O, I guess.
It is, yeah. I mean, the Raspberry Pi can do it, but, an Arduino, it turns on, it's working instantly. A Raspberry Pi has to boot up, so those seconds might be precious if there's a zombie coming through the door.
This is awesome. The Raspberry Pi Control Center. Oh, man. I could see a kid, 13, 14, 15, building every single thing in here, just like because of the narrative around it, really kind of getting into it and saying, yeah, I'm going to protect the house. I'm gonna. This is my job, Mom and Dad. Yeah. Look, a flash distractor. Yeah, that's useful against little sisters as well as zombies.
Yeah,
that's so funny. How'd
kids,
you come up?
Please remember to ask permission before you dismantle your parents' car.
Yeah, blah blah blah. Yeah. But this is fun. You start with a disposable camera, which is really great.
Yeah.
How do you
have to watch those things. They're vicious.
When
you're taking them apart, if you touch that capacitor, they give you a hell of a jolt.
There's a big battery in there, yeah. Where do you come up with these ideas?
I think it's sort of pressure of having to write the book.
So you're
motivated.
Your imagination really, it was great because, a sound distractor now, a flash distractor.
I think it helps actually having
it's a
topic.
Premise.
So you've got a scenario that you've got to deal with. So you can naturally think of things that would help in the situation.
By the way, I got to say, Simon is not resting. He's actually working, as I mentioned, on three more books even as we speak. Are you going to take a little time off for the holidays?
Yes, I've finished now for the holidays.
Ah, good.
I'm going to have a little break and then do some more between.
I hope you'll do some more with No Starch along these lines because this is really funny. It's really fun.
Yeah, they're fun. Yeah. They're a good. They're really fun publishers to work with because they make individual books, which is nice because a lot of places will churn out.
It's not a series.
Series that look exactly the same. Whereas No Starch will do something that's completely individual.
Each one's handmade, so to speak. All right, I'm going to take a break and I'll give you a chance to come up with your favorite project, which one you enjoyed making the most. Are any still in place?
That's the only one I think.
I don't think this would be a very good audible book, an audio book. Are you going to do an audio book for this? It'd be very hard to follow
no,
along.
I don't think it would work.
But, so many books, I listen to almost all my books I listen to now because it's a great way to read. But do-it-yourself books, coding books. They do have some books on coding. I think that's not ideal for the audio format, but Audible books are great for when you want to relax, when you want to learn. I listen to a lot of history. Just got David McCullough's amazing book about the Wright brothers. Audible.com is the website. You should go and take a look. So many wonderful books there. And I have a deal. I'm going to get you a free book. So while you're browsing, this is an opportunity to see, you know, if meditation is your interest, there's lots of books. Here's the 5 keys to mindful communication. I listen to a lot of health and diet books there, but my favorite is history and, of course, science fiction. And one of the things that's great about Audible is they have a project, the Audible Frontiers Project, where they're taking classic science fiction books that were never audiobooks, stuff from Heinlein and Asimov, and Piers Anthony, Philip K. Dick, and making audiobooks for the first time ever. And it's so wonderful to go back and listen to these classic science fiction books. If you haven't read The Stranger in a Strange Land or the iRobot or the Foundation series, they've got the entire Foundation series from Asimov on there. And Dune is another one that you're just going to want to really enjoy and listen to. And, of course, Audible is not just some robotic voice or even some kind of disinterested reader. They actually bring in actors, often Broadway actors, because their studios are in New Jersey, who are reading and bringing books to life. And that is, I think, a singular pleasure from Audible. You're listening to a book. You're getting every word in the book that you would have gotten had you bought the physical volume. But it's brought to life. If you're into Star Wars, of course, The Force Awakens has been novelized. And Mark Tynan, listen to a little bit of this. This is the official novelization.
Staring, despite himself.
No spoilers here.
And in response, the figure of Kylo Ren turned.
Oh, I can't wait to listen to this one. I love it. Here's the deal. You're going to get a free book. Maybe that's your free book. If you loved the new Star Wars movie and you want to listen to it and you hear the music, they really dramatize it. You see how this is my page, so you see they have all these books because I've decided we're going to go be in France in the fall and I want to relearn French. I studied it for 4 years in high school, forgot it all. And they have... There's a lot of educational stuff. So they have the complete Pimsleur French on here. Also one that I'm starting to do, Paul Noble with Collins does a really, I think, fun way to learn languages. They have French, Spanish, and German. They also have the Great Courses. And this, to me, is when they picked up the Great Courses series, I was so happy. I've listened to many of these. These are college professors. They pick the best professors in the world to kind of recreate their college courses, and you can listen to them, and it's like getting a college education, and it's part of your Audible subscription. You could get these for free. In fact, sometimes they do this. This is wonderful. Robert Greenberg does the greatest course, I think, on the Great Courses, which is how to listen to classical music, and I listened to it and learned so much. He's got a brief history of holiday music, and as Audible often does, this is a freebie for members. So this is a free course on holiday music, the history of holiday music. But if you want to learn things like, cognitive behavioral therapy or building a better vocabulary, there's an education awaiting, too, at Audible. We don't talk about that a lot. I wanted to mention that. So here's the deal. You're going to go to audiblepodcast.com. That's the website, audiblepodcast.com/triangulation. And you're going to pick a book. You'll be signing up for the gold plan. That means you're subscribing in a book a month. It's a very economical way to build your library. But your first month's free, so you cancel anytime in the first 30 days. You'll pay nothing. Not only do you get to keep the book you picked, you'll also get the Daily Digest of the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. Audible has apps for every platform, Windows, Windows Phone, iOS, Android. Beautiful apps that make it fun and easy to listen. You can listen on a Chromebook, too, or any web browser. They have web browser-based listening as well. So you can listen anywhere, anytime. As you probably know, I love books, and I love Audible, and I think you will, too. So give it a try free. We got a free book for you at audiblepodcast.com/triangulation. I'm listening to the new Neal Stephenson right now, 7 Eves. So good. So good. Unfortunately, some books you have to purchase. Not unfortunately for Simon Monk. And look at the illustrations and go through the diagrams and see the code samples. I mean, I think it'd be fun to have this read out loud, but I don't know if it would really work. Int LED equals 13 semicolon. // The setup routine runs once when you press reset, that kind of thing. Very hard to What's your favorite project in here?
I think it's the haptic communicator. So the idea behind this is that you've all seen the situation where somebody's out of the base and they're talking to somebody else who's out of the base, another survivor, using a walkie-talkie. And you press the alarm. And somebody always speaks at just the wrong moment, don't they, and it attracts attention. So the idea behind this is that it's a little Arduino project. You make a pair of these projects. And each project just has a button on it and a little vibration motor, the sort you'd find in a cell phone. So when you press your button, the vibration motor on the other handset vibrates and vice versa, so that you can send little sort of buzzing messages to each other. So you'd have to work out a code beforehand or learn Morse code or something. So, but you could just keep it simple and say, you know, three beeps for three buzzes for the zombies around, or one buzz for all clear, so that you can communicate with each other without having to use voice or make any kind of noise.
This, you do this one, you get your bachelor's degree. This is one of the final projects in here, one of the most complicated. You write.
I think it's probably the most complicated. There's quite a lot of soldering involved in that. Yeah. I build it on top of an Arduino Proto Shield, so you haven't got to make PCBs or anything like that. No, that's good. There is some soldering to do for that.
Oh, what fun, though. Here's a great parts list in the appendix, so everything you need is in here, where to get it. And if you have never, Simon says, soldered, I'll never get used to that. In the States, we say solder, and everybody gets mad at me in the rest of the world for mispronouncing it. There is an L in there, so I understand. They will tell you how to solder, how to... am I saying that right? Solder?
Solder. Well, that's what we say, but you say solder. I've heard that, and I've always thought it strange, because generally you have much more sensible spellings than we do. It's not color, it's color.
Yeah, it's not aluminium.
I'm quite happy to adopt a whole load of your spellings, but solder. I don't know why you say solder wrong.
I know, and we have a lot of listeners in the UK and Australia, and I think even Canada, who say, Leah, why do you keep saying solder, as if that's how it's pronounced? It's just, I have to work it out. Maybe I'll put that on my schedule. And here's a little primer in Arduino software, which is great, and that's useful too. I love this book, No Starch Press. It's $25. It's on Amazon. Whoops, I'm showing you the back. I don't know why. But this is important. Take charge of environment. Escape imminent danger. Communicate with other survivors. Simon Monk is the author. Many great books. You'll find a lot of them on his own website. Which is simonmonk.org, because as we all know, writing a book is a non-profit enterprise. Sometimes seems that way. And don't forget, he has the Monk Makes store, where you can get some of the parts you need, and a great blog, which I highly recommend, so you can see the story behind a lot of these projects. Simon, it's a real pleasure talking to you. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, a pleasure talking to you, too.
Be a great holiday gift, I think. In fact, I'm keeping this one. I know exactly who I'm giving it to. Thanks, Simon.
Great.
Have a great,
okay, nice
have a great holiday.
To you.
Happy Christmas and Happy New Year as well.
And okay. to you.
Thank
nice
you.
Talking to you.
Thank you.
All right, bye, Leah.
We do Triangulation every Monday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 1900 UTC. We love it if you could watch live. Join us in the chat room. I always like the feedback from the chat room. But if you can't, don't worry. You can merely download a copy. It's so easy. twit.tv/TRI is our website for Triangulation. And, of course, you can subscribe and download from all the different podcatchers. This show is very popular on iTunes and everywhere you go, including our new Apple TV apps, the Roku apps, iOS, Android, Windows Phone. Just search for Twit. You'll find it. Thanks for joining us. And we'll see you next time on Triangulation. Bye-bye.